also these, this colonial competition in Africa and in Asia contributed very mightily to the arms race in Europe, especially after 1890, when the arms race becomes a naval race. It is in the 1890s that all the various European states become convinced that the real key to future military power and economic security is to be found in the existence of a navy capable of protecting, extending and then protecting economic interests outside of Europe, that policy was going to have to become global and not simply continental if one were going to survive in the future. This would lead to, and indeed the expansion would lead to conflicts, very real ones between the European powers. The British would involvement in Egypt and in the Sudan is a case in point. The Suez Canal was seen of enormous strategic importance to Britain, not so much for an economic one in Egypt, but of strategic importance. If the Ottoman Empire were to continue to disintegrate as it was doing in the last half of the 19th century, might not the Russians move into the Middle East? The Suez Canal offered a quick British entry into the Indian Ocean and with access to India as well. So that Britain purchased 44% of the stock in the Suez Canal Company in 1875. The canal had been built by the French between 1859 and 1869, but the British had bought the largest shares in 1875. And in 1882, Britain placed the ruler of Egypt, quote, under British protection, close quote, in order to protect Egypt from internal turmoil and so on, in effect establishing a British protectorate over this crucial area. This would also lead the British to consider, and when I say the British, often one is talking about individual British colonial people involved in colonial policy, often individuals like Cecil Rhodes, who began to envision the possibility of a north-south axis of British possessions in Africa. What it came to be known as the Great Project was the Cape to Cairo Railroad Project that Rhodes was quite keen on, linking British possessions in South Africa all the way to the Mediterranean through the Sudan and Egypt. This project, this general thrust of policy, would lead to conflict with France. French colonies, the two major French colonies, French Equatorial Africa and French West Africa, were on the western side of the continent. But there was also French Somaliland in the east. Just as the British had given some thought to linkages between North and South, the North-South axis, the French in the 1880s and certainly in the 1890s began a push to move from West to East in Africa. This would lead to a great confrontation with Britain coming to a head in 1898, the so-called Fashoda incident, where it looked like Britain and France were actually going to go to war over this conflict in the Sudan, as the British North-South axis and the French East-West one came into conflict. The French backed down in that potentially catastrophic confrontation, and so war was averted. But tensions between Britain and France had been exacerbated by this. One also sees this same kind of conflict in a very different area of the world, but also having to do with imperialism, and this is the Russo-Japanese War of 1904-05. Japan, though hardly a European state, was an independent state with imperialist interests, and in 1904, Russia and Japan would go to war over conflicting claims in Manchuria and in Korea. That Russo-Japanese War that we'll come back and talk about was extremely important because the defeat of the Russians by the Japanese, the absolutely humiliating defeat, both on land and at sea, of the Russians by the Japanese, would send shockwaves through Europe. A non-European state had inflicted an enormous defeat on a European power, with all sorts of implications for discussions of race and so on that we'll really talk about more in the next lecture.